Social Media Church Podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 46, and I'm your host, DJ Chuang. Thank you for tuning in again, and tell your friends about this podcast, because this is crowdsourced, and it's listener-supported by people like you to be sharing and rating and liking and adding a review on iTunes. That seems to be the platform where the largest part of the podcast listening audience find new podcasts, as well as subscribe and through their ranking mechanism make visible this podcast and this resource for other church leaders, as well as ministry leaders, those who want to use social media more effectively to further their impact in a ministry context and maybe even a nonprofit context where things are more cause and mission oriented. And a fascinating article just came out in the Huffington Post, both in the tech and religion section, on May 9th, an article by Bianca Bosker. And I actually got to talk with her as part of her interview and research process, but my sound bites didn't quite make the final cut. Somebody named Joel Osteen, who happens to pastor the largest church in America, kind of grabbed the headline, and only one other voice got into the article. My colleague and friend over at Leadership Network, Todd Rhodes, got quoted, so that was pretty cool to see. I'm not going to read the entire article for you, but I will put a link in the show notes so you can go and read the article about Joel Osteen's use of social media, particularly around their recent event in Miami called Night of Hope. What's interesting about news articles on the internet now is that they can actually test and use different headlines, different titles for the article in different places. And that allows Huffington Post to track which one has the best response, as well as just to reach a diverse audience. And so this article had at least four different titles, four different headlines that I could find. The shortest one was Social Media Salvation. Another headline was Inside Osteen's Massive Soul-Saving Social Media Machine. A third one, an inside look at evangelical megapastor Joel Osteen's soul-saving social media machine. And the headline that actually comes with the article is Click, quote, pray, unquote, to pray, how evangelical megapastor Joel Osteen is saving souls with Facebook. So check out that article to get a behind-the-scenes look at pulling off a social media engagement during a large-scale event. And you've got to think bandwidth, you've got to think connectivity, you've got to think the influx of an incredible amount of prayer requests and comments and, you know, backup systems and all of that. And the article also mentions the outsourced media team that helped with this social media engagement as a part of their big event. They wanted to create some kind of a 360 interactive experience. I saw in one of the other articles, actually one of the other articles that also cited this event was published in the Christian Post. So I'll again check the show notes for a link to that article as well. I know when it comes to producing content and making mention of other content, there is a copyright fair use clause, which has a very fuzzy interpretation on what's considered fair use when you use excerpts versus when you've actually made a copyright infringement. And so just to avoid any possibility of that, I'm going to stay on the safe side and not quote from the article, refer you to the article. And it's a fascinating read. It's kind of similar to what I'm doing here at the Social Media Church. I want to give you an inside look at how different church leaders are using social media. And what you'll discover is there are so many different ways to use social media, and you want to learn from the real-life examples of others, as well as finding your own voice, whatever that voice is for your faith community. Now, coming up this Thursday, May 16th, is a live online webinar that I'll be a part of titled Top 3 Tech Trends Impacting the Church. So Leadership Network is hosting this free webinar Thursday, May 16th at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, or 11 a.m. Pacific time, or you can translate that to whatever time zone you happen to be listening from. Join that online webinar. We've got some incredible thought leaders that Tim Nations has rallied together as part of the Beyond Digital Initiative of Leadership Network. And again, on Thursday, May 16th, you'll hear from thought leaders from Google, from Monk Development, from Menlo Park Presbyterian Church, and yours truly from Social Media Church. And I'll tell you what the three trends we'll be discussing are. One, we'll be talking about social media engagement. Secondly, we'll be talking about mobile implementation. And third, we'll be talking about crowd mobilization. And Leadership Network just published an infographic with a snapshot of who are the church leaders that have signed up for this webinar so far. Over 150 have signed up already, churches of all sizes, from 18 to 20,000, from four different countries and more potentially. So I would love to connect with you. There's going to be a little time for Q&A, but you're going to get to hear live from four great thought leaders about what's happening on the digital frontier. You don't want to miss it. Again, that's Thursday, May 16th, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Check the show notes for a link so you can get signed up for this free webinar titled Top 3 Tech Trends Impacting the Church. Now, the featured conversation for this episode of the Social Media Church podcast is Oscar Soto. Oscar Soto is the online campus pastor at Christ Fellowship in Palm Beach Gardens in Florida. And their church is rather sizable, in the 20,000 range on their physical campuses. And in their online campus, they're reaching about 10,000 people that stay through the entire service, somewhere in the range of 20 to 25,000 that hit the webpage and watch a part of the service. So incredible numbers. And you'll hear how they use social media to stay connected as a community. But you'll also hear how they don't really use social media currently to reach new people. Or I should say more accurately, that they don't use online advertising. So all the people that they're reaching through the online campus are actually somehow related to the church through word of mouth and just through other organic means of finding that online campus, connecting with that online campus, and being trained to be disciples through the ministries of Christ Fellowship. So listen closely. This is my conversation with Oscar Soto, the online campus pastor of Christ Fellowship. Tell us about the history of online church there at Christ Fellowship.
Church online at Christ Fellowship started about, I would say, 5 years ago. And it was founded by our leading pastor, Todd Mullins, and our founding, I would call him founding online pastor, David Helbig. And it really was just a raw video with Skype chat that that we had at the time, and gradually has evolved into the platform that that we're using today. Currently, we have approximately about 20 to 25,000 viewers every week that come to our church online webpage and worship with us throughout one of our 16 experiences.
Whoa, those are staggering numbers. How do you count those numbers?
We count those numbers based on stream pulls from our accounts. So we see the number of streams, and then we have a formula that we use to try to calculate how many people are viewing with them. So we do surveys every few years to determine how many people are watching together. And based on that, we can come up with a number that we think is conservative in nature.
Great. So what is the current experience of an online worship service for people that happen to jump in and sit down in front of the live page?
Yeah, so the current experience is some folks like to just watch the service, and they'll come to our platform and just blow up the video screen and watch the service from their home. And other folks will watch the service and join the chat as well. So we have a chat tool that we've incorporated with it with our online experience, and they're able to chat and worship with us throughout the service. So they can come to one of our 16 services and find someone that will welcome them, someone that will pray with them, someone that will ask them if they have any prayer requests. And throughout any of those experiences, I may be present, or there'll be a Christ Fellowship representative present that will answer any questions that they might have, or just provide that care that someone needs when they're coming to like a physical church, you know, where they're coming physically. And if they have prayer requests or they need to talk to somebody, somebody's there to enable that for them as well.
So a lot of the interaction you have during the worship service happens through the chat window. And then how about between services? How do you stay connected with the people who are regulars and people who are new?
Sure. So some of the ways that we stay connected are through our main CF Impact Facebook page, and also through Twitter. We have two Twitter accounts. One is at Church Online, and the other one is at CF Impact. So we'll communicate regularly through there. We'll send out reminders about the message and announcements about things that are happening. The other things that we do is we have life groups and different classes that we're rolling out for the online campus as well, where they're able to connect and just have that time of fellowship. We even have members, DJ, that through Skype will connect to a physical life group and attend a physical life group through a Skype connection. And that allows them to just interact and hear whatever those local folks are having. So it's occurred where we'll have a life group going on in Palm Beach Gardens, and then we'll have viewers join in from another state, which is really awesome.
Well, how do you do that? A lot of churches are trying to figure out how do they do groups online. Sounds like you have a video feed of some kind.
Yeah. So what some of our more technically savvy life group leaders do is that they will enable Skype, and they'll connect it. They'll connect a PC or a Skype-enabled television within their life group, and they will bring up that Skype session and allow someone who is remote to join in. That's one way. We have three methods of having life groups here at Christ Fellowship. One is a physical life group where you would meet in someone's home or at a specific location. Another one would be a video life group where we would use tools like Skype, Zoom, or Adobe Connect. And the final piece that we've started is a Facebook life group where you don't really have to meet physically, but you can constantly interact or go through a study together just by having a private group on Facebook and sharing ideas about a lesson and commenting on that throughout the week.
Well, it sounds like you allow people to kind of choose the tool of their choice and what they can figure out. But there's also kind of a training element for online small group leaders. What do you do to facilitate that?
Yeah, we do have an online training, and those folks that want to become leaders can either take the course at one of our campuses, or they can take the course online with us. So it'll either be myself or my campus coordinator, Evelise Sutera, who helps as well lead our campus. And we'll give them a class on how to be a life group leader. And there's certain requirements that they have to meet, obviously, as well.
So you're holding online classes and you're communicating, I guess, through email or Twitter?
Yeah, we're communicating through email, Twitter, and the social media tools. The way we manage our ministry partners here at Christ Fellowship for the online campus is actually through a Facebook group. And we'll post announcements there. If anybody has questions, we'll post those there as well. We'll pray for each other through there. So it really becomes a nice, tight group, a family more or less, through the Facebook private group.
That's great. Yeah, I'm beginning to find Facebook groups to be very useful for group communication, because sometimes in email, all my communication with all kinds of people are in the inbox, so they all get jumbled together.
Right.
And you can't find where the previous conversation is related to a particular topic is. And Facebook group kind of keeps it all contained, so you're just communicating, say, with all your volunteers or all your small group leaders.
Yep. And, you know, we've found that that's the best method to communicate with our volunteer team. Our team is spread out throughout the globe. We have leaders in Korea. We have folks in Europe, folks in the U.S. that lead a life group or host a service. And so for us to be able to communicate with them, it has to be something that can go across different time zones. And we found that the Facebook groups allow us to do that really well. So we'll post videos in there of certain things we want to communicate to them. We'll give them what we call cheat sheets for our services so that they know what our lead pastor is going to talk about for that weekend and what things to post in the chat or tell their life groups about. And just really try to empower them to lead the Christ Fellowship life group or service in the way that we think would impact the people that attend.
So cool. So we've talked about different pieces of things that go into your church online. Can you describe your process or model of how you take someone who's visiting for the first time and helping them engage more deeply and perhaps becoming a volunteer and leader in your church?
Yeah, so our process is really not too difficult. What we'd like to do is if someone has attended our service and accepted Christ, we've created a web form that they can go ahead and just fill out to notify us about the fact that they've accepted Christ. Our process then is to take that, and I'll personally send them out a message just letting them know about congratulating them on their decision to follow Christ and welcoming them to Christ Fellowship. And in a few days after sending that email, I'll go ahead and if they provide a phone number, I'll call them and have a conversation with them to see what I can pray for them for or how I can help them on their journey. During that call, I'll find out what their interests are and what they like to do. One of the things that we have just started for Church Online here at Christ Fellowship is taking our membership class, which is called The Journey. It's a 4-week class, and delivering it online. So we'll invite them to a journey class so that they can take that class. And in that class, we talk about what it is to be a believer, what it is to be a Christ Fellowship member, and walk them through that entire process. And those classes are designed to be in kind of like a small group setting where there's a table leader they can communicate with. And we actually use a tool called Zoom for the online team that allows them to just interact with each other, tell life stories, and hear from one of our senior leaders here at Christ Fellowship. Once they've taken the journey class, or even before they're finished with the journey class, if they're very enthusiastic about it, we'll ask them to join a life group or start them serving somehow on the Church Online campus. And they can serve in a number of different ways. They can, the primary way that we like to engage new volunteers at Christ Fellowship is to get them started on what it is to host a service and be a chat host. And we have two types of hosts for every service. We have someone who is in charge of handling prayer requests and someone who's just that basic welcome person, you know, just like you would have at a physical campus. You have someone that opens a door for you, that greets you with a smile and tells you that that if you have any questions to let them know and gives you a little what we call highlight or a welcome kit, right? We do the exact same thing online. We try to enable that so that they feel warm, they can communicate with us in that way. So we'll offer them that opportunity to start serving if they feel called to that. Or if they're local, we'll try to plug them into one of our physical campuses. That is really the primary goal, is to, once they're saved, engage them, plug them into a campus if they're local. If they're not local and they don't have any local churches, then online will become their church, and we'll try to engage them in some kind of ministry online.
Now, earlier you mentioned 20 to 25,000 people hit the live page over the course of a week. How do people find you? I mean, that's a lot of people. And I'm curious how many stay through the entire service.
Yeah, so I would say about maybe 50% DJ would stay the entire service. The way we count is basically by the streams that they're pulling and the average that we know are attending together, right? So that number can differentiate for different churches count in different ways. But I would say about 50% stay. And how we get that number is really because of our location and our leadership team. John Maxwell is a teaching pastor here at Christ Fellowship, so he'll come on occasion. And really, one of the things that really has increased our viewership is because of John Maxwell being part of our church. And he'll, you know, when he comes and he speaks at the church, he'll tweet it out and let everyone know. And that's really what one of the big waves that got Church Online started here at Christ Fellowship. The other thing is our geographic location, right? Right. We're in West Palm Beach, Florida. It's a very diverse area. And you have a lot of people that are coming from different walks of life that will attend our campuses. And you've got those folks that are seasonal that come down to Florida for a while and then go back up to the Northeast, and they all spread the message. We don't do advertising here at Christ Fellowship. The way the message gets out is very organically through our church. And our church is pretty large in size. We're seven campuses now, and we have about 20,000 members that come to Christ Fellowship. So.
Wow, those are just staggering numbers. And it sounds like when you have just as many online as you have offline, your staff size would be sizable for online too, but it takes fewer people, takes less facilities to run online. So there's definitely some advantages that helps to scale and reach more people.
Right.
How did you transition from the first online campus pastor to yourself? How long have you been in the driver's seat, and what's it been like?
Sure. So what I'll tell you is that I served on the online team for about a year as a volunteer. Pastor David, who's a great friend of mine and what I consider a mentor, asked me to consider coming on staff as what they call the online technical coordinator. Because of my background is really on networking, and my career has always been as a network engineer or sales engineer in designing networks throughout Latin America and so forth. He thought this would be just a great opportunity for me to serve on staff. So I came on as a part-time person helping out and stood in that role for 2 years, really under the leadership of David Helbig and his mentoring of me. I've been now in the role of campus pastor for just over, I would say, 30 days. And the transition for me has really been one of relief and excitement. And I say relief because I had two jobs previous to becoming the online campus pastor. And now I just get the focus on something that I'm very passionate about and excited about. That is, you know, obviously Church Online. So it's allowed me to kind of streamline my life a little bit and just focus on ministry, which is truly exciting for me.
That's fantastic. And so glad you're in a role that fits you and really use all your experiences, and you're serving so many. I'm guessing financially, talk a little bit about finances. Are you able to sustain the technology and the staff to serve all of these people just through online?
Yeah, you know, one of the great things about the online campus is that we don't have a lot of staff for just online. It's just myself and Evelise, who's our campus coordinator, that are staff members that run online. The rest of it is composed through our volunteer team. We have about 30 volunteers that help us run Church Online here at Christ Fellowship. And that doesn't include any of the life groups. As far as how we're able to get the video feed out and all coordinating all those things, we have a great communications department here at Christ Fellowship that just partners with us and helps us organize all of our web stuff, our social media stuff, and we even have a web strategist now. His name is Jason Masterson, great guy who's on the team in our communications department, who's helping us really just develop that web strategy even further along. Our technical media team is amazing here. They help us with all of the equipment and so forth, and help us maintain that so that we have a great amount of flexibility in delivering our services and so forth. And we have, you know, an IT team that just also pours into Church Online to make sure that everything is running smoothly. So we get a huge amount of support from our core teams here at Christ Fellowship that will allow us to run lean and what I call lean and mean
yes.
to get the message of Christ out there to the world.
That's amazing. Great teamwork. And you mentioned diversity a little earlier, and I see that your church, physical church, has a Spanish service, and you're working on some ASL, American Sign Language. So describe how you're contextualizing that online.
In terms of different languages around the world, right now what we do is we take our Spanish sermons and we archive them. And we have our Christ Fellowship site is completely translated into Spanish, which is the second, you know, most dominant language here in South Florida. And we go ahead and place not only our podcast, but the video archive for our Spanish ministry, which is what we affectionately call CFE, Christ Fellowship in Español. We put those up on a weekly basis. So someone who only speaks Spanish but has an iPhone or is technology savvy can go ahead and get the podcast or view the sermon on our archives and have the opportunity to experience that. For ASL, it's something that's really brand new for us. We have a huge team here at Christ Fellowship that does American Sign Language. For those of you that don't know what ASL stands for, we've just installed some new equipment that will allow us to do a picture-in-picture for ASL. And we're planning on streaming that a couple of times during the week. It won't stream live. It's going to be a recording, but we're excited to see what God does with that and the reach that that might have for not only those folks that are able to benefit from ASL, but also their families, that they can get together and worship together and have a complete church experience at home from beginning to end.
That's good. Deaf ministry is such an important piece. I was at a meeting earlier last week about unreached people groups, and there's deaf people around the world, and getting them the Word of God when they can't hear is quite an opportunity. So glad that you're doing that. I'm not a deaf person, but I'm curious, how is signing a better way to communicate than, say, using subtitles?
Yeah, that's a great question, and that's one of the things that we talked about. Do we just close caption a service versus doing signage, right? And we have some professional people here that do ASL for a living. And some of the unique things that we got from them is that most people who use ASL are only able to read at a second grade level. And their primary method of communication is through sign language, right? So if you're only able to read at a second grade level, then it probably wouldn't be very beneficial to do closed captioning. And especially if you have a leader who could speak quickly or use or has a very expanded vocabulary, right? So we wanted to make sure that we brought them the opportunity to receive the message of Christ in the most impactful way. And that was through making sure that, you know, even if we had to spend the extra dollars to get some additional equipment, that they could view it in a way that was most comfortable to them and not most comfortable to us. So we wanted to step outside of the box and just allow them to just receive it in a way that they could understand it best. And hopefully the Holy Spirit could start moving in their lives through that.
Well, that's so good to know. I didn't realize the difference there. And not only that, different countries have different sign languages.
Right. And one of the things that I learned recently is that you can actually tell when someone is from New York using ASL and someone who's from California. One of our interpreters was explaining that whole process to me. So just like we can hear the New York accent or the Southern California accent, they're able to see that in signage as well, which was pretty interesting and really kind of cool for me to start learning all of that. So I'm excited that, you know, we have the senior leadership here that wants to pour into all those unreached people in not only in the world, but in the United States, and to see what God does with it. Right. And that we have a team here of volunteers that just really wants to serve the community and the different needs that are out there.
That's great. Really appreciate your church's heart for people. And not only are you introducing people to gospel, you really want to see people grow in the gospel. And I know in past conversations I've had with you and David and members of your team, you're very intentional in terms of developing leaders as well as providing online training. So describe what you're doing to provide teaching for your physical campus as well as your online campus using the internet.
Sure. So one of the big initiatives that we're taking on now, one of the things that Pastor David always did was that we wanted to empower our teams, right? So we want to provide them with as much material as possible so that they can be equipped to carry the message of Christ. So we started with the journey. We have something else that we deliver at our campuses called Essentials, the Essentials classes here at Christ Fellowship. There are a series of about 8 to 10 classes that we deliver to get our folks equipped and really equip them on all different types of things as the core beliefs of a believer, right? And then we have something we call Kaleo, which is our School of Leadership. And so we're working this year to try to accomplish about 50% of all of our essential classes online and bring those online. And some of those classes will be recorded and delivered through our main online channel or page. And some of those classes, which require a lot of interaction, will be delivered through different web tools or meeting tools like GoToMeeting, Zoom that's out there, or Adobe Connect. So we are just now, DJ, getting started with all those different classes and figuring out which ones we can deliver and what the proper formats are for those. And then with that, the final goal is obviously to take them through our school leadership and grow our own leaders internally. And what I mean by that is leaders of different departments, leaders that can serve in the community, pastors that can start different campuses. That's really our goal, is to grow them all internally, organically, here at Christ Fellowship.
And that was my conversation with Oscar Soto, the online campus pastor of Christ Fellowship in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. Check the show notes at socialmediachurch.net, and you'll have a link to Christ Fellowship and their online campus and how you can connect with Oscar Soto online to follow up with some of your questions. Or you can just add a comment to this blog post. I'll forward it to him. And if you'd like to just call in with your comment about this conversation or anything on top of mind, or share a story of how you're using social media in your church context, we'd love to hear from you here at the Social Media Church. Call in on our hotline, and the number is 94-93-543-216. The number again, 94-93-543-216. I've had several opportunities to connect with Oscar Soto and his team over at Christ Fellowship through some events that Leadership Network hosted in Dallas. So I've met him in person several times. And as I mentioned earlier about the May 16th webinar, Top 3 Trends Impacting the Church, sign up for that free webinar so you can hear the latest from 4 thought leaders, including Google, Monk Development, Menlo Park Presbyterian, and myself, representing the Social Media Church. Leadership Network is developing a Beyond Digital initiative, so you also want to check the show notes at socialmediachurch.net to find out more about an event that Leadership Network is gathering to facilitate church leaders that are on the digital frontier of creating and developing new ways of using digital tools to extend their ministry. And so if you want to be a part of a community, a peer learning community that can accelerate the development of your new initiatives in the digital world, you definitely want to consider being a participant of the Beyond Digital initiative. So that's all I've got for this episode of the Social Media Church. My name is DJ Chuang. Thank you for tuning in. Rate, review, and share this podcast with people that you know and people you don't know, so that they too can learn how to use social media more effectively in their particular context. And until next time, we will stay connected online.